Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. While running a code, the thing we hope for is return of spontaneous circulation, or RoSC, followed by recovery so the patient can have a return to a normal life. The actions we take after identifying RoSC has a significant impact on a patient's eventual outcome. The post-cardiac arrest care algorithm provides us with evidence-based guidance for the initial stabilization phase, as well as continued management activities, and is today's PASS ACLS tip topic. Our primary focus immediately following RoSC is aimed at ensuring adequate perfusion of the body's vital organs. This is done by maintaining an O2 saturation between 92 and 98%, an end-tidal CO2 of 35 to 45 millimeters of mercury, and a blood pressure of at least 90 systolic, or a mean arterial pressure of 65. Managing O2 and CO2 involves oxygen concentration, ventilation rate, and tidal volume adjustments. At all of the hospitals in the area where I live and work, respiratory responds to every code outside of the OR. If you're lucky to have them, ask them to maintain the parameters and leave the adjustments to them. They do this all the time and are experts. Small changes to vent settings can have a profound effect on a patient's O2, CO2, and pH, so close monitoring of arterial or venous blood gases is needed until the patient stabilizes. Maintaining a blood pressure of at least 90 systolic or a mean arterial pressure of 65 comes next. We could spend hours going over this, but, put very simply for a 6-minute flash briefing, cardiac output is the product of the heart's ability to pump as formulated by the stroke volume and heart rate. If either the heart rate or stroke volume increases, so should the patient's cardiac output. There are other factors to maintaining blood pressure, and blood pressure alone is not an absolute measure of perfusion. In addition to cardiac output, blood pressure is determined by blood volume and systemic vascular resistance. To alter blood pressure, we can adjust the amount of fluid in the circulatory system, give medications to change the systemic vascular resistance by constricting or dilating blood vessels, or give medications to increase cardiac output. Something I like to remember when dealing with this is to start simple and treat the patient as a whole, not a number. Starting simple. If the patient's blood pressure is less than 90 and they remain comatose, ask yourself, what could be causing this? Then treat the suspected cause with something that isn't likely to cause harm if you're wrong. As long as the patient doesn't have a reason like kidney failure or CHF in their history, start with something simple like a 250 to 500 milliliter fluid bolus. If the patient is bradycardic and not responding, consider giving 1 milligram of atropine to get their heart rate above 60. Remember that atropine increases the workload on the heart muscle, so use it with caution if you believe the patient is infarcting. If the heart rate is within normal limits or only slightly tachycardic, consider an adrenergic agonist like dopamine, levofed, or an epidrip. Like atropine, these medications increase the workload on the heart, so they should be started at a low dose and slowly titrated up only until we reach a blood pressure of 90 systolic or their maximum dose. 20 micrograms per kilogram per minute for dopamine, 0.5 micrograms per kilogram per minute for levofed, or 10 micrograms per minute for epinephrine drip. Once the O2, CO2, and blood pressure are controlled, we should reassess the patient's level of consciousness to determine if targeted temperature management, TTM, is indicated. If the patient can't follow simple commands, we should start targeted temperature management and cool the patient to 32 to 36 degrees centigrade for 24 hours. An intubated patient receiving vasopressors and being cooled can still have CT, MRI, and PCI performed if indicated. If the patient isn't going to imaging or cath lab, they should be placed in the ICU for close monitoring and expert consultations. That's all I have for you today on post-cardiac arrest care. If you find these tips helpful, be sure to subscribe or follow PASS ACLS Tip of the Day on your favorite podcast app or enable on your Amazon Voice device so you don't miss upcoming episodes. Whether you're a novice or experienced provider, listening to an episode daily for a few weeks before your class will help to cement key ACLS concepts and review specific information needed to pass your written exam in MegaCode. For a deeper dive into ACLS-related topics, check out the pod resource page at passacls.com. I'm here to help you pass ACLS. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your class.